Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Don't know what to think about the basketball team. I don't know if you sour and sweet kind of postseason we've had where lose the conference title game and get the NIT bid. Looked great against Georgia Tech. We'll talk about that in a minute. So happy to see the basketball team still playing meaningful games. We got one Sunday night, which should be a lot of fun. Beyond that, Brooks, how are you doing?
Yeah, doing good. Still watching Jack State basketball, which a little iffy on whether or not we would just because we I knew when we played Kennesaw a few weeks ago that if we won that game and won the regular season at minimum we were going to make the NIT, but losing that game and then losing the conference championship, I was a little iffy on whether or not we'd be playing postseason basketball, whether it was the NIT or the new Crown tournament. But nonetheless, we're still fighting. Beat the ever-loving crap out of Georgia Tech, who you could tell didn't care anything about being there, except for that one guy with all the tattoos and the headband. He was shooting the lights out. But nonetheless, outstanding performance against the Yellow Jackets. Two nights ago in Atlanta, despite a very disappointing loss against Liberty for the second time now this year in the conference championship game, and that game was just a little weird from the start with everything with the roof leaking and playing in the middle of tornado warnings all over the state. It's just kind of a weird wasn't a great omen, but nonetheless we're still kicking. Like I said, beat the dog mess out of Georgia Tech and find yourself playing UC Irvine come 8 o'clock, I believe it is, 8 o'clock on Sunday night in Irvine, California.
Yeah, that's a long road trip in March for a team that's already played a lot of basketball and had to travel around. Of course, Conference USA schools are spread out pretty far, but that's a long trip to Irvine, California to play the Anteaters, who were a one seed in the NIT. So they are a 25-plus win team. If you watch their game when they played at Northern Colorado, Jack State seems to match up pretty well, or will probably match up pretty well with UC Irvine. Of course, it remains to be seen. That team's had a really good year, and if you're one seed in the NIT, you just missed out on a tournament bid. So if Jack State wins, they'll go to, I don't know if you call the NIT Elite Eight the Elite Eight, but there'll be eight teams left. The NIT, Jack's going to be one of them. And if they were to win that game, they go to Madison Square Garden and play, I believe the Final Four is still played at MSG there in New York for the NIT. So that would be really, really cool. Brooks, if you have any information, they moved it?
Yeah, it's because Georgia played in it last year. They moved it to the Final Four is now in Hinkle Fieldhouse.
Where Butler plays. Okay. Yeah. That shows you how much NIT basketball I've watched in the last two or three years. I didn't know they moved it from Madison Square Garden. Either way, really good chance for Jack State. You know, national attention for the basketball team is not something that they've really ever had. And I was unaware, if you watched the Georgia Tech game, the last time Jack State's beaten a Power 4 team in basketball was – it was 70 some odd years ago. That was way beyond what I would have expected. I would expect them to get a win against somebody, recently. They've been to tournaments and won conference championships and that kind of thing in the recent past. But first win against a Power 4 team in over 70 years, and that was, I believe, Alabama is what they said on the broadcast. So good to get that monkey off our backs, because that's quite the statistic there for your Gamecocks. Not a good one, but it's a stat no more. So good to get that knocked out. Ray Harper got his 600th win against Georgia Tech. So a lot of milestones hit for JSU. I believe that's their first Division I postseason win of any kind. I know conference championships sort of count in that, but as far as an actual postseason tournament, whether it be, you know, the NCAA tournament or the NIT or the new CBC deal. That's their first Division One win also. So a lot of firsts for Jack State, which is really good to see. And I think this is just hopefully where the program's going and where the program's going to stay. I know, you know, Jerron Pierre is going to be a senior and he's going to leave, and they're going to lose a lot of scoring and leadership and that kind of thing from his end. But you know, this is a team that's in a much better basketball conference than they've ever been in. Should be easier to recruit in that conference, and hopefully we see them remain competitive with Coach Harper at the helm. If you guys kept it with us on Twitter, there was a West Virginia's basketball coach left for Indiana, and Ray Harper is not interviewing for the West Virginia job. He was on ESPN2 in Atlanta, beating up on the Yellow Jackets. So really happy the basketball team's having the success that they're having. I wish it was in the NCAA tournament that they would have beaten Liberty. But like you said, Brooks, weird game with the roof leak and all that stuff prior to the game. It started like half an hour or 45 minutes late, and it just seemed like Liberty couldn't miss. I mean, it was incredible at times. They were, you know, how locked in they were from beyond the arc. And that makes it really tough for a team like Jack State, who likes to play slow to begin with and kind of bully ball and that kind of thing. And Liberty just run up on offense, shoot one from 32 feet, knock it down, and it makes it hard for Jack State to keep up. And they played a good first half. Jack State got down in the first half by 10 or 11 points and came back and made it a four-point game at halftime. But the Flames were too much there in the second half. But disappointing for sure, but for a team that was picked to finish, what, seventh or eighth in the conference to start the year, a conference runner-up and an NIT bid, I think you call a huge success.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I'll tell you one of the biggest wins that we've had, you know, over the last few years with Ray Harper's success is keeping Ray Harper. You know, like you said, you mentioned the speculation of him going to West Virginia and the Mountaineers poaching another one of our coaches. It's hard to believe that, you know, we won the OVC in his first year, won the A-Sun a couple of years ago, and made it to a conference championship this year. It's just amazing that and had some other runs at a quarterfinal in the CBI a few years back, and just the tremendous amount of success that Ray Harper's had. I can't believe he hasn't gotten a look at, you know, a little bit bigger job, and us being able to hold on to him, like I said, it's been one of the biggest wins or biggest success points. And I guess you credit it to Greg Seitz and being able to keep him happy and doing what it takes to keep him here. Because he had success at Western Kentucky, beat Duke one year in the NCAA tournament, won two. I didn't know that. I knew he had won an initial championship at the D2 level with Kentucky Wesleyan, but he won two D2 national championships and two NAIA national championships. I mean, the guy's just he's won every level except for a little bit bigger job. And I think, you know, given the way he can get guys to come and develop, you know, like, for example, Jerron Pierre, he didn't play basketball last year. And prior to that, he was at Wichita and what was the other school?
Southern Miss.
For 2 years. So you take a guy that's completely took a year off from playing Division I basketball, and good basketball at Wichita State, and turn him into the, if I'm correct, the last I saw, he was the number four scoring, or he was fourth in scoring in the country.
Who had that on your bingo card to start the year that Jack State was going to have the fourth leading scorer in college basketball, also projected to be a second round draft pick, Jerron Pierre. So the athletic department as a whole is, we've said it a lot of times on this podcast before, going places we never thought it would go. And the basketball team is no exception to that for sure. Those that listen to us now, I don't know how many of you guys were around to watch Jack State basketball circa 2008, 2009, 2010. But I'll run a quick story for you here. My mother used to sell tickets at the Jackson Basketball Games, as Brooks, I believe your mother did too. Weird. But I was the ipso facto, we didn't have a towel boy, so they gave me a towel pregame, and I stood under the goal and wiped sweat off the floor in between plays for about 3 weeks during the season. And where the program has come since then to now is it's like unrecognizable. Not that I don't love Jack State basketball, but they have not been successful in program history. I mean, you can go back to 1992 and some teams back then that were good at the Division II level, but the Division I level for the basketball team is struggled mightily. And what they've done the last 5, 6, 7 years, making 2 tournaments and winning conference championships and now winning games at the NIT level, in a good basketball conference, no less, is awesome. Going to have NBA draft picks and Jerron Pierre, and it's just really, really cool to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's across all sports. You know, the state that I know we were winning in some of the, you know, baseball won 2 Division II national championships. Softball made a super regional a few years back, beat Alabama here. There's been Jack State's always been a very successful athletic program, but you know, to see where we've come from, you know, even just 10 years ago, if I'm correct, we didn't redo the Coliseum until before the 2015-2016 year. Before that, you remember going to those games? We were the entire upper bowl was wooden bleachers, and the chair back seats were all busted. The floor didn't look all that great. And, you know, we finally made the decision to, after we bring in Ray Harper, a well-known winner at, you know, our level of competition in basketball, completely redid the Coliseum, completely redid other facilities, the auxiliary court. Hopefully we can change up the locker room a little bit. I've seen some pictures of it. It needs a little bit of ELC, but nonetheless, recruiting, everything about this program, the basketball program, is completely different, like you said, from what it was when we were growing up going to games.
Absolutely. We were, like you said, we were growing up. This was not a program in the OVC that was, you know, competing for OVC championships or OVC titles, much less NCAA tournament appearances. I mean, it wasn't even a thought in our minds when the season started that this team might could go make the NCAA tournament. It was always Belmont or Southern Illinois, Edwardsville, or whoever it was going to be that was going to win the OVC. But certainly more than happy with where the program has grown, and it's not lost on me and Brooks where they started at to where they are now, and Greg Seitz and Ray Harper and staff deserve all the credit. So, but we're not a basketball show. We can ramble on about the basketball team for a while, but at some point we're going to talk about Jack State football, which is what we're here to do. Not a ton of news, and by not a ton of news, I mean like nothing, the last couple of weeks, which is, you know, pretty standard for your group of five college football off season. There's going to be lulls where there's just not that much going on. We seem to be in one of those now. So we'll talk a little bit about what we want to see in the spring game. Brooks, you have to refresh me the date, April 20 something, I think, but,
I think it's sooner than that. I think it's like the 17th. I want to say.
Oh, okay. Brooks will find that date for us real quick, but, we'll talk about what we want to see.
Spring practice did start last week, though.
Yeah, spring practice started last week. I haven't seen, you know, the university football account posts a, you know, video and a picture here and there, and that's good to see. But not a whole lot of news come out of practice yet, at least as far as I know. But talk a little bit about what we want to see in the spring game, a little bit about what we want to see in spring practice, and you'll hear from us after this podcast is over. You'll hear from us next after the J-Day game, which is less than a month away, March 20th. But so first thing, We'll talk about quarterback first. And it's a 4-5-ish horse race at this point. Of course, the transfers being Gavin Wimsatt from Kentucky and Cade Cunningham from Memphis are the two new guys. Caden Creel, who was, of course, here last year, and the new freshman, 6'5", Jack Moran, out of New Jersey. Now, in the spring game, who we're going to see out of that group, I don't know. I think we're going to see Caden Creel. We know that for sure. Wimsatt's at practice. I know that for certain. Not sure about Cunningham. Not sure about Moran. Did get videos of Moran throwing on Twitter not too long ago, and it seemed like he was in New Jersey. At least I think that was could have been an old video and all that kind of stuff going on. But not sure he's with the team yet. Same with Cade Cunningham. Now, you would assume if Wimsatt's with the team that Cunningham should also be with the team. That would lead you in that direction. So we'll see. So at least we think we'll see those three guys in the spring game. Now, let's all just hope and pray. First of all, it doesn't rain biblically, and that the PA system works, because whatever they did last year, the PA system was just like a speaker stuck in the, like one of the sky boxes up there that some guy with a microphone was talking into. And I don't think he knew who was who, because A, you couldn't really hear him. And I know that he called Caden Creel Tyler Huff at one point, and Tyler Huff did not play in that game. So, really strange
state at that game
in Korea. Yes. He wasn't even in the state. So really strange how the spring game worked last year with Rich Rod, and it wasn't a traditional four-quarter one offense versus one defense spring game. There was some point systems and some ball movement around and some situational stuff, which, while cool, was hard to keep track of and that kind of thing. So we'll see what Coach Kelly and company decide to do with the spring game. But beyond that, kind of like last year, we talked about it last year, a lot of new faces and new places. It's no different. Quarterback would be number one. And then, of course, with the running back position, we have Andrew Paul. And then after that, it's going to be a lot of guys who didn't play last year, whether that's Andre Devine or Justice Savage or one of the new freshmen that signed. And of course, Cam Cook out of TCU, we will probably see. So a lot of fun names vying for carries at the running back position for Jack State. Same with receiver. Of course, everybody wants to see the 6'7" kid from Rutgers, so we'll see if he gets playing time. I still think we're going to see him at wide receiver if they can get him to add some weight and move him to that. Or excuse me, we see him at tight end if they can get him to add some weight and move him there is what we'll likely see. But that'll remain to be seen. But as far as the offense goes, it's going to be a completely new everything, new system, new players. Like we kind of said a few weeks ago, the only thing that we know for sure is that Will Osteen's going to play left tackle. Beyond that, everything is open to interpretation. You know, we're also pretty sure Cam Cook's going to be the starter, but nothing's saying Andrew Paul can't win that job. Nothing's saying Justice Savage or Andre Devine can't win that job. So position battles all over the place. I know you're not going to learn a lot as a fan from the spring game as to what – It's not spring training baseball to where you can watch team play every week and say, or every day and say, you know, that guy's going to win that job, that guy's going to win that. You know, you're not going to learn that from the spring game, but it'll give you an idea of who's ahead of who in the depth chart for right now. I mean, you're going to see the number one offense, at least what the number one offense is, you know, in April for Coach Kelly in the spring game. So that'll be something to note. Who's playing with the starters and who's playing with the backups, especially at the quarterback and running back position. And then beyond that, same with the defense. A lot of new faces, a lot of transfers into that defense. A lot of transfers to the defense. Went through the list a few episodes ago. So we'll see who of the transfers gets playing time with the starters and that kind of thing. But spring game's always fun to get your first look at what your 2025 Gamecocks look like. Brooks, I'll let you talk about the spring game there for a minute, what you want to see. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't want it to rain, and B, I just want to see a spring game you can keep track of. And I'd like to know who's playing where at any given time, which last year was really hard to keep track of.
Yeah. And I think we should return to that, you know, traditional four quarter format. That's primarily what, everybody does around the country. I would imagine this being completely new coaching staff, first time offensive coordinator, first time head coach, first time DC. Not a first time DC, but anyway, new system, new players, new environment, everything. I would think this will be a traditional four quarter, you know, maybe adjusted clock, spring game. Like you said, just as long as it doesn't rain, and we can, you know, at least keep up with what's going on the field, the scoring system, all that. The PA system should be fine. I think last year they were just in the middle of installing a new one, replacing speakers and stuff. But and then rain, April in Alabama, you never know. But from a football standpoint, I think what I want to see, what I'm most interested to see, is the development of the offense, just what the offense is going to look like. You know, yes, the quarterback is the big question, or the biggest question. You know, is it going to be one of the transfer guys? Is it going to be Caden? Is it going to be Caden Creel? Is it going to be who's already been in Jacksonville, and you know, knows a lot of the receivers, a lot of offensive linemen, running backs, and, you know, has that relationship with offensive set pieces already? Or Greg Jones? Is it, you know, or do you take that, or do you take playing experience with Kay Cunningham, with
Gavin Wimsatt?
Gavin Wimsatt, thank you. who have not only played, but, you know, been playing at Power Five schools, or Power Four schools. I'm always going to do that. You know, that's the biggest question mark. When it comes to position groups for me, or I think everyone agreed that's the biggest question mark. But another one I'm kind of interested to see, you know, just what this offensive scheme is going to look like. It based on, you know, Clint Trickett was the pass game coordinator at Georgia Southern, and, you know, we bring their tight ends coach over with us too. You know, the guys that we've hired, you know, to run this offense, they seem to have a history of, you know, being very pass game focused. You know, could we see? But we've got, I think we've got an embarrassment of riches at running back with Andrew Ball, Justin Savage, and then of course Cam Cook. How we got him was, you know, not really mind-boggling, but it, very interesting nonetheless. Shock of the offseason, yes, absolutely. So I'm very interested to see, you know, how we utilize those guys. And, you know, being able, we went from, you know, 85% of the snaps, we were a one-horse running back room with Trey Stewart, and just kept feeding him. Yes, Andrew Paul, and towards the end, Ron Wiggins got some carries here and there, and a little bit of Anwar Lewis. But, you know, like I said, 85% of the time, it was Trey Stewart out of the backfield, or design plays for with Tyler Huff. So, are we going to go back to using, you know, rotating bodies constantly when it comes to running back, receivers? What is DeAndre Johnson going to look like? Michael Petway is gone. You know, receivers and tight ends. What is DeAndre Johnson going to look like? Are we going to be able to, you know, to get him the ball, are we going to be able to get him the ball, you know, more frequently than certainly what he had at Rutgers? Or is there a reason why he never really saw the field at Rutgers? And of course, tight ends, Rex Steiner, is he going to be able to take that next step and fill Sean Brown's shoes? You know, there's a lot of question marks about this Gamecock offense that that's what's going to intrigue me most. The defense, I'm not super duper concerned about just because, just because Charles Kelly is a defensive guy, and I think Brian Williams is a pretty good defensive coordinator. You know, but between those two, I think they're going to be able to take some solid set pieces and put together a pretty good defense. The defensive backs are that was my whole concern last year, and with everybody either transferring or graduating from that defensive backfield this year. And pretty much having to start over at that position group. I am interested to see, you know, the development and the, what kind of defensive scheme, they come up for those guys. But there's a lot of question marks and that I'm really intrigued with. But the majority of them are on offense.
Yep. I agree. It's hard when you're to pinpoint something you want to see or look at the spring game when the entire coaching staff's changed. It's hard to sit here and say on a podcast, I want to see everything in a spring game. I want to see everything in the damn spring game because we don't know what anything's going to look like. The offensive scheme, if you kind of look, we think it might be more pass heavy than run heavy, but it's certainly going to be more balanced than what Rich Rod ran when it was a running play 97.5% of the time. But I don't think we're going to see the 3-3-5 defense anymore. I think we're going to see a 3-4 or 4-3 like they ran at Maryland. So it's going to be really interesting what the team's going to look like. There's certainly the talent on the team to be successful. I think that's easily seen. Last year we didn't see the talent really hit its stride till game three or four. We certainly need a much faster start because you have Liberty at home week two. That's a huge conference game early in the season. So, need a fast start. So it's all going to be different. New head coach, new OC, new DC. It's everything. The only person at that school and that coaching staff that has a major role that is still there is Rick Trickett. And you should be very happy that he is still there because the anchor that is Rick Trickett coaching the offensive line is I still think that was when Rich Rod left and we got the word that Rick was going to stay was still the best news we could have gotten. And then, hiring his son as the offensive coordinator, I think is equally as good. So what the team's going to look like remains to be seen. I think from the spring game, you just want to be able to get a feel of what kind of scheme the offense is going to run. What is the defense going to look like? What are some names we can expect to see playing time, even if it's not going to be, of course, the exact first team offense and defense, because there's going to be players transfer out, players transfer in during that second portal cycle. We've said it a few times, but last year, Tyler Huff did not play in the spring game. We thought it was going to be Logan Smothers' team to go and win football games with, and that, of course, didn't happen. So, of the four quarterbacks you're going to see in the spring game, none of them may ever see the field for Jack State. It's just the way the sport is now. If you go back 6, 7, 8 years ago, yes, your spring game, that was 95% of your roster was already there for the spring game. There was going to be very little moving, at least as far as names go, from the spring game to August when the season starts. And it's of course, it's a whole different world now with a portal and all that stuff. So, So what scheme is the offense going to run? What players from the portal are getting playing time for the defense, I think, is the two big things. And I just kind of want to go be able to sit front row and watch Coach Kelly work in his first, head coaching position. Me and Brooks were there at the spring game last year after the rain, and there were so few people left. You could hear Rich Rod screaming all around the stadium. It was a really fun time to be able to sit that close and hear what Rich Rod's like at practice. I kind of would like to get the same feel for Coach Kelly. Would be fun also. So something else to kind of look for. But a little less than a month away. There on April 17th. Hopefully, we'll see a lot of you guys there, and we'll of course come out the day after, the next day, and let you know what meaningless thoughts we learned from the spring game. Cause last year we didn't learn anything and I don't expect to learn a ton this year either, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah. And that's something else too. even from the spring game, it could look completely different in season. You know, coming out of last season, yes, Rich Rod is always, you know, the whole time he was at Jack State, and is always, he's been known for the speed option. But I felt that those first 2 years he was there, was Zion Webb and then Logan Smothers coming in, I thought we threw the ball a lot more in those first 2 years than what we did last year. And a lot of, because Logan Smothers was a fine runner and Webb was okay. You know, those guys, they were more, they ran when they had to. There weren't near as many design quarterback, you know, read option quarterback running plays, I think, as there were for Tyler Huff. But that's the thing too, is, you know, Anwar Lewis, Ron Wiggins, fine running backs, but they weren't what Trey Stewart was last year. And having the legs of him and Tyler Huff at the same time, and you know, we saw the production that they had, was just, I mean, it completely changed. It was completely different the way that we ran our offense from the year before. I think that Liberty game, when we went up there, I don't think we threw the ball 10 times, maybe less.
I think it was exactly 10. It was only like 70 or 80 yards or something really low.
Yeah. And I know too, you know, that wasn't the case every game, but it was a lot of it. I mean, there were some games where Huff didn't have to use his arm to get us downfield and put us in good scoring position. But, you know, being able to rely on that run game of those two, I mean, that was the heart of our offense. But Huff didn't come in until after the spring game. And if, you know, depending on what this mystery quarterback can do, you know, he may be a scrambler. He may be a dual threat. He may be a pro style, sit back in the pocket and, you know, throw the ball 80 yards downfield. You know, we just don't know. We just don't know anything about him yet. But depending on his play style, depending on what Kelly and the offensive staff really like about him, this offensive scheme could look completely different from what we see in the spring game.
Yeah.
But it turned out good last time.
Yeah. Yeah. But and it's not just Jack State in this conference. You know, Sam Houston has a new coach. Liberty's going to look a lot different. You know, Caden Salter might be the starter for Colorado this year. So it's the whole conference has a lot of learning to do about their football teams. And that's going to be a standard most seasons for teams at this level. So, you know, if you have a guy break out, you know, 1 year he's going to be somewhere else next year at a bigger place. You know, if Tyler Huff and Trey Stewart weren't seniors, where would they be this year? So, I'm glad we don't have to find out, but that's just kind of the fact of the matter, is that if those two guys weren't seniors, they might not be playing for Jack State. They may be at another place. So it's the whole conference. Like I said, Sam Houston, new coach. Liberty is going to look completely different. West Kentucky had like their entire team transfer at one point. You know, I don't know what's going on down in Kennesaw. You know, Louisiana Tech held on to Sonny Cumbie for one more year.
Kennesaw is going to look completely different.
Yeah.
Just from the simple fact of no more option.
Yeah. That's Kennesaw will look different. It's just, will it be an improved different? I can't imagine you can change the culture of a program that was running the triple option in just one season. I mean, we wouldn't watch that game last year, Brooks, and they couldn't throw the ball. They had no one that could throw it. They had a couple of successful running drives against Jack State that I thought was going to give Rich Rod an aneurysm there at the end of halftime, where Jack State just couldn't tackle, let him kind of walk down and score a touchdown. But it's the whole conference now. You know, with the realignment, you know, Delaware and Missouri State, like, if you don't think Delaware, they're not going to be eligible, I wouldn't imagine. If you don't think Delaware can't win 6 or 7 conference games this year, they absolutely can. That team was really good last year in a good FCS conference. If they were not eligible for the FCS playoffs, we didn't get to see what they would have done against other competition. But if you don't think Delaware can't go win 5, 6, 7 conference games and give people trouble, like they certainly can. I don't think Missouri State's going to have the success quite right away like I expect Delaware to. Like that home game against Delaware middle of the season is one that I really expect to be a dogfight, a really good game. And we'll, of course, get to preview that and all kind of stuff as we go. But what the conference is going to look like this year, you know, the names are different. The coaches are different. The teams that will be successful might be different. We certainly hope Jack State's still the top dog in the conference. But, you know, there's a world where Sonny Cumbie gets Louisiana Tech in the right direction. You know, they got better and better and better and better last year. They should have beat Jack State. We know that. They did beat Western Kentucky, which helped us out tremendously. So you don't think that Louisiana Tech can't, you know, go shock the conference and make the title game either. It's going to be an upside down league, and you know, whoever can adapt to new players the best is going to have success. Now that I've said all that, it's watch it be Jack State and Western in the title game again, and Liberty third and Sam Houston fourth, and it's dry run of last year. But I do expect to see some different teams compete for the title than what we've seen. I mean, you go back 2 years ago, New Mexico State played in the conference championship game, and they were the worst team in football last year. So it's how much can change in 1 year is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Liberty game being second week of the schedule is it stinks because and it's not because, you know, I'm running away from competition and wanting to run away from competition, anything like that. But I really do, this being completely new offensive, defensive schemes, new coaching staff, just everything brand new about this program. And we're really only going to have 1 week to kind of, and even then it's not exactly a cakewalk. We got to go down to Orlando and play Central Florida. You know, just the really, really rough start to this season, where we're still going to be figuring things out. You know, the Central Florida game is what it's going to be, what it's going to be. You know, if we can pull off an upset, awesome. But, you know, I want to see more about, you know, who we are, establishing our offensive and defensive identities, you know, rather than, you know, that game's not going to make or break our season, but the Liberty game may. And that sucks to say 2 weeks into the season, but you know, they're going to be they're flush with NIL money, I'm sure. And replacing Caden Salter, I don't know who exactly they have yet. I haven't done my journalisming into figuring that one out. But I'm sure whoever it is, he's going to be talented, and probably a very similar playing style to Caden Salter and Malik. Oh, guy that went to the Titans.
Willis.
Blake Willis.
Yeah, I mean, Liberty is the New York Yankees or the Los Angeles Dodgers of Conference USA, and they're probably always going to be, where they're going to be, like Brooks said, flush with NIL cash to get talent. But I think the one up that Jack State has is the athletic department for Jack State's the best ran athletic department in the conference, and you can take that to the bank. I mean, it's for you know where the program is and what they have to work with, they get the most out of their program than anyone else in Conference USA, and you can prove that with, I mean, look at football, baseball, basketball, softball, look at all your major sports Jack State plays, and they are competitive in all four, and not everyone can say that. So pretty much only other person in the conference that can say that is Liberty. Liberty is competitive in all four of those sports as well. So it's going to be a fun season. And kind of like we said, it's who's going to do the most with the new talent on the roster. Liberty will probably always have the most talent on paper, but that's not always going to win football games. I do expect to see to see Jack State return. And it's like Brooks said, that week two game can make or break the season. It's going to be really hard looking back on Jack State football circa 2025 if they missed the title game by one game and they lost a week two home game to Liberty by 3 or 4 points with a team that wasn't complete yet. So don't, like Brooks said, we're not certainly not scared of competition, but I don't think Liberty likes that game either. I don't think either team struggled with it. Liberty's got to come on the road with a new quarterback, a lot of new offensive weapons, and win a game in a tough environment. I expect that to be a really good environment there in Burgess Snow. So I don't think either team's in love with that game where it was scheduled. Not that we have control over it. The conference does what they want to do, and I'm sure that game's going to be a primetime CBS Sports Network or ESPNU or whatever it is. It's going to be nationally televised, which is obviously good for the university also. But yeah, we can kind of sit here and kind of complain about what that week two game looks like, but I think they're the Flames guys are doing the same thing that we are. I don't think they're probably thrilled with where that game is on the schedule either.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. It's just it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be a good game, but it's going to be a very interesting game to kind of see who's got their program adjusted the quickest, where the relationship within, where the chemistry is on, where the chemistry is within the team and the coaching staff, and it's going to be interesting for sure. And it doesn't get any easier as, we got to go to Georgia Southern the week after, and then Southern Miss is going to be a lot better. And then right back into, we get the Murray State game, but it's right back into conference play. I mean, it's going to be a tough year. It's going to be a tough year scheduling wise. But I'm excited for it because I'm excited to, go to the spring game and get an idea where we're at as a program. Way early in the Charles Kelly era. But that's what makes competition fun. That's what makes football fun is these big games. And that's what makes it tough too. Is you don't have any time to screw around, and you got to have your team ready, and you got to have your team ready now. If you're going to win championships. So it'll be interesting to see, not just in Jacksonville, Alabama, but all across the conference.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. We are 45 minutes in, but we're going to end real quick. Not a terribly long note. I know Brooks has a little bit he wants to say about Troy. And real quick before he goes, I just want to play football against Troy. They haven't played in my lifetime when I was old enough to watch. 01 or 02, 03 might have been the last time we've actually played Troy in football. I was in a crib at that point. So, yes, I have a Whoop Troy t-shirt and a pen and all that stuff. But, it doesn't mean the same to me as it would mean to someone who's seen that rivalry play out on the field and that kind of thing. And I know that they're working on it. They're trying. I know scheduling games is tough when, Jack State scheduled Buffalo in 2078 coming up. So that's on the schedule for legitimately 2030 or something like that. Auburn's in 2026. So there's out-of-conference games being scheduled, decades down the line. So it's kind of hard to fit in some out-of-conference stuff. You don't want to say it's not last minute, but it really is last minute. If you want to schedule a game with Troy in 2026, 2027, that door is kind of closed already, unless something kind of drops out. So we're hopeful that we get to play a home and home with them, but and kind of renew the rivalry and give fans that are, my age and Brooks' age something to make it a rivalry game. We get them in baseball, which Brooks talk about in a minute. We get them in basketball occasionally, but the football is where the rivalry is starts and ends, and it just not playing them in 20 plus years kind of puts a damper on things. So that's my take on it, Brooks. I know you went to a really good baseball game when Jack State played Troy there at home a week or so ago, so you can talk about that for a minute. But yeah, that's my take on the Troy thing. Is ready whenever they can get it scheduled.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to bring this up. I went to watch us play Troy last week, and you know we're 24 going on 25 years old, so we've never really gotten to experience the Troy rivalry, the true Troy. We've played them here and there. I remember I went and watched them play basketball at the Pete a couple of years ago, and we've played them here and there over the years across different sports, of course, except for football. And, you know, it never really felt like, you know, those stories that we got told. I know my granddad and my dad told me about them. I'm sure yours did too, about playing Troy, you know, in the late 80s, in the 80s and 90s. And just, you know, how big of an event that was. You know, I've heard my dad and pops told me all the time about, you know, when we were playing in basketball, there would be a line out the door at the Coliseum well after the ball had already tipped of people trying to get in. You know, and it was heated rivalry. We had in football, it was the same way. Stadium was always sold out. we play for a trophy. It was the battle for the old school belt, and they still have it. It is somewhere in their athletic department. When I went to watch him play baseball last week, that really felt to me, that was my first true Troy experience. That game to me felt like an old school Troy game. Now, again, I never got to experience that, but from what the stories I've been told, I was like, yes, this is what a Troy rivalry or rivalry with Troy should be. We were coaches, you know, Troy's coach was out on the field arguing, and, you know, our players were jawing back and forth with theirs. Fans were hollering. Even, you know, kind of, there were a few fans that were going back and forth with each other. Ultimately, we did whoop them. We run rolled them. But that game to me, that was the first time in my 24, almost 25 years of living on this earth that I truly experienced, you know, the closest thing to what the Troy rivalry was. And that's why I sent out the tweet, you know, this is starting to get really heated and starting to get, to be a lot of fun. This has to come back to football. I can only imagine, you know, what it's going to be like. You know, there's a two generations almost now of people who are of Jack State fans who, you know, have never experienced us playing Troy and, you know, just what the rivalry means. And it, like everything I said a minute ago, just how heat it was, how close the games were, and just what a great rivalry it was. And, you know, I know there's, you know, kind of like you said, there's a lot more that goes into scheduling non-conference games than just Greg Sites calling their AD saying, hey, you want to play a game? Sure, let's do it. Well, there's finances, there's traveling, there's scheduling conflicts with other non-conference opponents. And, you know, there's a lot more that goes into it. But, you know, this has been a long time coming, and I know they're in talks, but this has been a long time coming to have this game played, and it needs to come back, and it needs to come back soon. I think, you know, I got just a little bit of taste in my mouth of what it used to feel like when I went to the baseball game the other day, and I need more of it. I need that Troy game back in football. Like, I need oxygen. But I just kind of wanted to bring that and express, you know, what that game means to the Jack State and Troy. And it needs to come back, and it needs to come back in a big way.
Yeah, I completely agree. And maybe that looks like one day a yearly rivalry. I mean, we see, you know, Clemson, South Carolina, Florida State, like, there are ways to get that done, where it's out of conference, Georgia Tech, same way. there's ways to get that done at a conference. It'll be, I think, tough to create a yearly out-of-conference rivalry now. You know, a lot of reasons that Georgia Tech play or Florida State, I mean, they've done it for 100 years and they're not going to change it. They'll do whatever it takes to do that. But starting one of those in 2025 with the way the out-of-conference works, I think is going to be tough. But I do think you can get it, you know, played, you know, once this year, once a couple years down the line, and then, you know, eventually you do get it every year once the schedule the scheduling allows for it. And maybe it's a home and home, maybe it's a neutral site deal where I don't know what is halfway between here and South Alabama or Troy, but
it's Birmingham, you know, I guess.
I guess we can play in protective if UAB has an away game there every year for out of conference, but whatever it's going to look like, you know, I think I'd prefer the home and home. The best atmosphere in college football is the Holy War in Provo, Utah every year or every other year. I mean, you can argue Alabama, Auburn, Georgia Tech, whatever you want to, but if you ain't watched the Thursday night when BYU hosts Utah, it's crazy. And that's why I like the home and home stuff. Neutral site would be cool and all, but I don't think the home and home of Troy is where I would go. But this opens up a different conversation, one we've had on Twitter once or twice, real quick here before we leave. Of all the out of conference opponents Jack State could schedule, there's a short list of who we want to see. Troy's at the top of the list. Auburn was one of the other schools because I think that we feel like as a fan base we have unfinished business, and Jack State can go beat this Auburn team right now. Now, when we play Auburn in 2026, we don't know what Auburn's going to look like. They're still an SEC team. They could make leaps and bounds, strides before then and be a top 10 team, and it'd be really tough. But, you know, this Auburn team that we saw last year, Jack State would be competitive with. And maybe that'll be true in 2026 when the game's going to be played. UAB was on the list. We've already scheduled with them, which is really good. But of course, the rest of your in-state team, South Alabama, has not been scheduled. I know a lot of people want to play West Virginia. I'm perfectly happy. Let's go to Morgan Temple, West Virginia. I think that would be a lot of fun. Georgia Southern was a team on the list that we've scheduled. So there are a lot of these nearby schools that Jack State wanted to schedule that we have. You know, UAB, Auburn, Georgia Southern all on the list already. That Troy is going to be. Troy and South Al are going to be the last two that we're going to get to see. So, you know, if there's other schools that you guys want to see, you know, James Madison, Coastal are going to be teams who played Coastal, I guess, but you know, James Madison, Appalachian State are going to be teams that we want to see us play. Like, I would like to play Louisiana again. We play them in the bowl game. I think that would be a good out of conference game for us to schedule. So there's going to be a lot of names floating around for out of conference stuff for Jack State in the years coming. Troy is certainly number one, but they're not the only one that we want to see. And I know that it's going to show up in the comments of a tweet somewhere like, yes, I want more than anything in the world to go to Tuscaloosa and win a football game. I promise. That's all I want. Jacks, they can go 1-11. If they go to Tuscaloosa and win a football game, I'm good for the year. That's not going to happen. The way that university in Tuscaloosa operates, there's a reason they haven't played an in-state team besides Auburn in 30 or 40 years or whatever it is. They just don't help out in-state teams for better or for worse. But I agree. But Jack State's never going to go to Tuscaloosa, at least not anytime soon with that current regime in the AD office in Tuscaloosa. So that's out the window, but clearly Auburn, much different. So we're really excited to go down there in 2026, but Troy is certainly the number one team on the out of conference list. South Alabama needs to be scheduled for sure. In the event Samford or UNA make the move up in a few years, they would likely be a conference opponent anyway. So that would kind of cover that. But, you know, that'd be two more schools. And I mean, if Samford and UNA, and yeah, we can get Chattanooga too, but if Samford and UNA move up, I mean, you got to think that the state of Alabama is just slap full of FBS college football teams at that point. Because I think they would have almost the same amount as the, you know, state of Texas at that point. If they have maybe like 8 or 9 or 10 FBS programs, would be a crazy amount for a state the size of Alabama. So recruiting would be a dogfight. Then yeah, Chattanooga would be the you know, biggest rival. I mean, you get to the question, if they play Troy every year and Chattanooga's a conference game and Kennesaw's a conference game, who's your biggest rival at that point?
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say next was, you know, I want this game back, not just, you know, from a historical standpoint and you know, playing a really good out of conference team. I know, like you said, it's going to be a while before it could get to the point where we play home and home every single year. But I want this game back from the standpoint of having a true rivalry, you know, because really. And we've kind of talked about this before on and off, but really, if you think about it, since Troy moved up, left Division II, and we stopped playing them year in and year out, we never really had that. We certainly didn't in the OVC. We never really had that one big rival. You know, we still had UNA or Livingston, as they were known at. Not Livingston. Anyway, we had UNA at the time, but then we moved up and we were in the OVC, and we never really had that true rival. The closest that we came to was Chattanooga, but the only reason that we were playing them was we would schedule them every so often in non-conference or in the FCS playoffs. So you know it was a rivalry for sure. You know, we had some really good games and had some really heated moments, particularly in the 2015 playoff game when a new fan decided to pour beer on Ruben Gonzalez. But it just, you know, that true, we never had that. You know, when you think of Alabama, you think of the Auburn game. When you think of Michigan, you think of the Ohio State game. When you think USC, UCLA, and so on and so on. Since Troy, we've never had that really just well-established rivalry. And, you bring up, you know, if Chattanooga were to move up or if North Alabama were to move up to Division I and join the Conference USA, and we are playing those teams every year, you know, who is our established rival? And, and of course, Kennesaw has become a great rivalry over the last few years, and honestly, I think it could be rivals with all of them. You know, rivals with all of them. You know, Alabama, for example, has a big rivalry with Tennessee, a big rivalry with LSU, and of course Auburn. You know, I think it could be a kind of similar situation like that. But the Troy is still top of the list.
Yeah, I agree. That's, you know, Jack State's in a very good part of the country to where there are lots of options. But what, you know, until the Troy game can get scheduled or until, you know, maybe I don't know what UAB is going to turn into. I don't know if Chattanooga will ever take the step forward. And, you know, Kennesaw is very new to Jack State as a rival, and there's good history there. We played 6 overtimes with them. So that's a good way to kick off a rivalry is play 6 overtimes in a Major League Baseball stadium is a great way to start. But before I say this, you're welcome to send me all of the bad things on Twitter. That's fine. It's time to call Sam Houston a rival. I'm ready to do it. I don't want to call it the Gravy Bowl. We don't have to call it the Gravy Bowl. That's fine. If we don't like that name, I'm not a fan of it either. But Jack State has played Sam Houston more times in the last 10 years than they've played Kennesaw. They've played Sam Houston more times in the last 10 years than they've played Chattanooga. Like, that fan base is very active with us, whether it's on Twitter or at the game. That fan base traveled really well for what they were to Jacksonville last year. I played them in the playoffs, played them in FCS out-of-conference games. They're a conference rival.
We were in the conference with them.
Yeah, in the conference with them there in the whatever we called that league where it was half the A-10 and half the – or A-Sun and half the other. But
in the South and when we first moved up too.
Yeah, and we were in the South. And I mean, to me, Sam Houston checks all the boxes. Where, you know, we've seen him in playoff games, we've beat them in playoff games, we've seen him in Conference USA, and I don't know. I've made my statement there that Sam Houston is going to be a team that Jack State is married to for a very long time. I mean, they moved up at the same time. They were sister schools in the transition period. And I just feel like that kind of links our two schools together for a period of time. And to me, that makes a rivalry game. I don't know. It doesn't have a name unless you're subscribed to the Gravy Bowl name, which I don't love. It's not the worst thing ever, but I don't love it. I think we can find something different to call it. But if we're going to talk about rivalry games for Jack State, and maybe they can schedule this game or that game, or maybe Chattanooga or Samford will move up and give us one. Well, right now we've got Kennesaw, and we've got another team in the conference that can also check that box. And to me, it's Sam Houston. So just something to think about. We still don't have a name for the game at all. So we'll maybe find one at some point.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with it. I can understand it. There are other games that I would like to see, other quote-unquote rivalry games that I would like to see happen more frequently. Of course, Kennesaw is going to, as long as we're in a conference together, that game's always going to happen. But like the Chattanooga, the UNA, the Samford, of course, Troy. If we are going to make this a thing, though, I don't like the Gravy Bowl. I think we got it. I don't quite understand it. And maybe that's just because I'm an imbecile. I'm not a fan. Come up with a cool trophy and make it the battle for the so-and-so trophy, whatever, just not the Gravy Bowl. We can do better than that.
Can we just make it the battle for the bear chicken?
The bear chicken?
And just half bear, half chicken?
Yeah. I don't see why.
Anyway, kind of sit down and go through and Brooks, I'll ask you the same question. Would you be mad at the conference if Sam Houston, if Jack State and Sam Houston didn't play one year? He's like, we didn't get UTEP last year. We don't get Missouri State this year. Like, if you don't get Sam Houston scheduled, like, I feel like you're disappointed. Like, I feel like that's a game you want to play.
It is from, you know, if they keep improving the way that they are, and obviously us, if we can keep on the same track that we've been the last 2 years, I want to play that game from a standpoint of that's more than likely going to keep being a decider in the conference championship and who plays and who wins it and everything. But from a on the topic of rivalries, I would sacrifice the Sam Houston game if it meant we get to keep Kennesaw, because I think that is turning into a really, really good rivalry just from the short distance, from all the great games that we've played over the last few years. I would, from a rivalry standpoint, you know, that being our Alabama Auburn for the time being, whatever you want it to be, I would sacrifice the Sam Houston game in order to keep Kennesaw on the schedule. But that's just my opinion.
I would too. But you know, if Kennesaw's your, and of course the conference is going to let Jack State Kennesaw play every year. But you know, if you were to pick the second Conference USA team that you want to play every year, I think a lot of the fan base picks Sam Houston. Now you're going to get a lot of Liberty and a lot of Western Kentucky in that. Answer also, and maybe that's a Twitter poll that we have soon, is, you know, behind Kennesaw, who is your favorite Conference USA team to beat? For me, I think Sam Houston second. I love beating Liberty, trust me. What I do for work, we have affiliation with Liberty, and it's a nightmare, so I hope no one at work hears me say that, but I love to beat Liberty, but and I'd like to beat Western Kentucky now that we've got a lot of history with him over the past 3 years. We played him 3 times in 2 years, which gives you a lot of history with the Hilltoppers, but that's a very long travel distance for JSU. I do think Sam Houston, if you're going to look at, conference teams that Jack State currently has after Kennesaw, like that's the number two game for me. Maybe Liberty sneaks into that conversation also, but this, the history that Jack State has with Sam Houston over the past, decade plus, and before that in the Southland. But anyway, we're an hour and 7 minutes into a podcast that I started out saying there was no news to talk about. We can go longer. Once again, if you guys made it this far, we really appreciate it. Off season's a little bit dry as far as football news goes. Sunday night, big time basketball game against UC Irvine, all the way in California. So I don't imagine that the fan base will travel very well, but anyone who's going to that basketball game, if you listen to us, man, send us pictures. I bet that's a really fun trip. But beyond that, thanks for listening. We'll see you guys after the spring game. Brooks Soul outro us, and we'll talk to you later.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, for no news week, other than the fact that spring practice started, and of course, basketball. Definitely had that was a fun conversation. Real quick before we go, by the time we talk to y'all again, we will, I believe the NFL draft will have already happened or right before it. So real quick before we go, I just wanted to get, we're not entering ourselves in our own contest or anything. I want to get your pick, Drew. Where do you, after Clay Webb had a pretty good combine, where do you think you'll get drafted? Super quick.
Yeah, real quick. First of all, really good Senior Bowl for Clay Webb. Really good Senior Bowl. Good combine, not great combine, from what I've read, which is still good. He was mocked around, I think, 120 in what I saw. So offensive line can, if they get off the board early, he can go earlier. If they get pushed back, go later. I don't know. Let's
125. So, yeah, fourth round. I'm going to say the list right here I've got. I'm going to say 111 to Carolina, fourth round. They need offensive line. 111
to Carolina. Who is picked 125, Brooks?
125 is the Chargers. Probably use
offensive line. Maybe not, but you never know.
Either way.
I do know real quick, he is in the draft as a center. He is not a guard.
I did see that. They want
him. He may play guard, but he is in the draft as a center, not a guard. So of course Clay Webb, smaller in stature than what a tackle or a guard would normally be in the NFL, and he seems to have moved or will move to that center position. So that is something to keep an eye out also. But either way, let you guys go. Like we said, contest on Twitter for that draft pick. A ton of you guys already submitted what position you've got locked down there to win the banner. We'll retweet that day of the draft or maybe a couple of days before, and I'm sure we'll get a lot more. And then whenever the pick gets announced, if we're not at work or whenever we have our phones, we'll announce the winner and get you that banner sent over. But anyway, once again, Brooks, we'll outro us for real this time, and we'll see you guys in a few weeks.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will talk to you all again after the spring game. Looking forward to it. See y'all.